Right. So the question of the day is, how do you all make money work for you? So you know the saying, you make, don't work for money, you make money work for you.
In other words, use money as a tool. Oh, okay. Most of my investments are get most for the money that you spend it. You know what I'm saying? Investment to get money for the most.
Yeah, what type of investments? I mean, people have different things, you know what I mean?
Like, well, is anything that can benefit.
Like, what are y'all doing investments now? A better question would probably be, what are some other goals for making money work for you that you all are striving to do? Like, because you haven't, I mean, almost anything, investments is like a wide, generic thing to say,
yeah,
but are you investing in a business? Are
you investing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you almost need to. I mean, it was a general question, so you get a general answer. How do you make your money work for you? Oh, by investing.
Yeah, investing is anything too. You can invest into cars.
Investing in what?
Investing in food,
paintings, appreciate, real estate, stocks, cryptocurrency, like this.
Jewelry, shoes, anything that's like, you know, the only thing, now you start.
Guns and butter.
Yeah, guns and butter.
The dumb motherfucker.
Yeah. So, but anything that you has, anything that can have value that you can use in the bartering system that continues to this day.
You gotta say it what he said.
Hey, you do, but I had to break it down.
Shit that appreciates with
value.
You ever seen Baby Boy?
Classic. But he was telling the truth, but
they,
you know,
show it all the time on
they
TV.
Do.
Yeah.
And they show that one part too.
Just that one part.
Yeah,
right there. Yeah. He was breaking it down.
Yeah, he broke it down because it is a bartering system. Everybody always been cash, but think about cash does not make the play. It's your bartering skills that make the play. It's who you know, who you can go with somebody and be like, hey, I don't got the cash here, but we can make some moves and make here for this, for my talent, for your talent to make money at the end, on the back end, right? So that's the bartering system, which is
big. What sparked y'all's creativity in investing in various different things? And, or just, what sparked the motivation of like, damn, like I need to start making my money work for itself? What sparked that for you?
You wouldn't really know the truth?
What?
You sure?
Not like
the dope game.
Yeah.
I mean, now the dope game, because the dope game is the same. It's the same principle. It's nothing new. You get you an ounce of some substance. The substance has a street value, right? So you get the substance, and you're like, all right, you give me this much. If you break it down and you make it the value, high quality, low quality, whatever you decide to do, you take it to the street. You're taking that money and duplicating that money back, right? So the same formula as anything you do. You buy a car and you're like, okay, I got this car for 10 years, but in 10 years, I can make almost $1 billion with this one car. Even depreciated value, because car gets me to A, B, C, and D, or move stuff to A, B, C, and D. It's the same scenario. So you give me something and my goal is to double and get my money back, right? So that logic applies to investing to almost every other thing. You say, hey, I pay so much for this to have a value to come back to me one way or another, or I use it to make me increase, right? So some people say, oh, why did you take a $1,000 loan? Well, I took the $1,000 loan because at this $1,000 loan, I could invest this $500 over here to make $200,000. The $200,000 paid off the $1,000 loan. Now I'm back up. I made $200,000. I have $200,000. Same thing in the dope game. I bought this brick, flipped it, made the key, doubled my money up last week, bought another one. I am playing the same logic. So when I sat there and learned the dope game, and then you go to school and you start looking on them explaining the stock market and everything else, you're like, this is like the dope game. So, you know, so I put more money here, right? So if I get this and this can double, so that's almost like buying here and it's a hot summer, boom. And you know, this is the drug of choice for the year, or the pills is popping this year. Man, that means I bought the pills for the, hey, we're going to the beach. That means I'm tripling my play. It's the same scenario. So I learned it was just the logic was the same. I just looked, you know, I was able to, someone showed me and told me, hey, look at a different scope. Then I was like, oh, that's how it works. That's how it worked for me. I was like, oh, because the stock market were cats who knew drug dealers. And drug dealers, hey man, I buy that cocaine for so much and they make money. And stock market doing the same thing. Shit, let me get these people to buy into this weak ass powder real quick, thinking they're gonna get super high. But they're gonna oh, how much? Or that's the name is blah blah blah. I'm gonna drop even more because I heard that stuff. Say through the pit. The game is the same. You just change the tools. You say instead of using nickel drugs, we just use inside trading and a couple of numbers.
Yeah.
It's the game. So that's for me. That you want to speak for me. That's how I learned how to.
So that's what play inspired this. You.
Yeah, because I was saying was, you know, you see, I mean, you watch the crime, you watch paper. Paper always goes back to the stock market. Every drug trade, drugs in hospitals, lead to the stock market. So you can be the poorest kid in the neighborhood, you pay attention and follow where that money comes to and runs through, it's gonna lead you back to the stock market. There's nothing that has not in this world, in the United States, or makes it the world, does not flow through the stock market. It's a push off the stock market. It's a push for this, does, oh, drugs kicking up, oh, a sickness is kicking up, and then you got those companies trying to find a cure, so that's, boom, that's putting that up. Oh, then, you know, got technology, who trying to make it more easy, this, and it still leads what? To the stock market. Cars, everything leads to the stock market.
What about you?
Motivation-wise, would be family, kids. Like, before having, you know, a wife and kids, I was just, you know, just buying all the J's, buying all the phone pods, anything that dropped, I had cars, whatever. But then once I had kids, realizing that my parents, I mean, both my parents was there, you know, to my standards, I grew up in a house, so I never went to the project, but my parents had an oil mill. So both my parents worked at the hospital, and we just looking at a lot of the financial decisions that we made. Hey man, why we don't own a house? Why we ain't have no car? Why you work in the hospital?
Yeah, you work in the hospital.
40 years. We ain't got shit to show for. So just evaluating them and their decisions made me realign mine once I got married, once I found my life partner and like, hey, ride or die, we doing this together. She didn't grow up with her dad. Dad's in Japan. She only grew up with her mom. We still taking care of her. So learning from the last generation's mistakes, trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to do so our kids can look at our mistakes, because we're not perfect. We're still making mistakes. We're still learning as we're growing. Allow them to learn from our mistakes so they'll be even greater than us. And in our eyes, and in my dad's eyes, he's good. He's making $8,000 a month. My dad is good, but he's still in the project, so his mindset ain't good. You know what I'm saying? He's still like that. You ain't want to go to the beach nowhere. You ain't want to, oh, I'm good where I'm at. I'm getting plenty of money. I'm saving, I'm stacking. But you here still, like you in the projects on Rochdale Boulevard in Queens. Why? You don't have to be here. Oh, I'm home. So I can't be that guy. So just learning from my dad, having the motivation for my daughters to do better, to show them better, but still find that balance, because I feel like I turned out great with the upbringing that I had. So trying to find a balance and not give my kids everything, because then they'll expect the world to give them everything. The world ain't gonna give you shit.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find that balance of, okay, let me give you this, but take this away and take that away, because you gotta have that sense of earn. You gotta want to earn shit. And my wife, she, oh, we gonna leave this house for this kid. We gonna leave this house for this kid. We gonna leave this one for her. How many people love your house? You're taking away that sense of grind to get it. You don't want to strip them from what made us so-called great. Like, hey, don't forget the steps and the tools that we needed to want to grind and be successful with my brother. Oh, you want this, baby? Oh, you want... Now, every girl, oh, I got this from this chicken. I got this from this chicken. He don't know how to get it. He used to somebody give him, and stripped him of his successful survival, you know, kits that you need to survive, so.
Yeah. Madam.
Just so important. I saw we weren't poor, but we were kind of like middle class.
Yeah.
And I just saw how that was. Now my dad did everything he could to make sure that we grew up in the best way possible. He would always, because of the fact that we came from a broken home, he felt that he needed to show us with toys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We worked our asses off to get what we wanted when we got to teenagers, but at the same time, he was always trying to, you know, fill that void with toys and stuff. And I didn't realize how much he was weight making until probably about 7 to 10 years ago.
Make it a little cash.
Okay. I make more than what he does.
Okay.
He's making 30 to 40 a year. And he's been working at Moisan Airport for 20 years doing the same thing. And I was just like, I was flabbergasted. I was like, wow, how are you surviving off of that amount of money, having to pay child support for four kids? Because he divorced my mom, and then being able to survive off of that. And I was just like, I don't want that for my family. I want to better my situation to be able to provide my kids. You know, we had it good for what we had. But I still want them to have the work ethic that I have because I don't stop. My dad don't stop. I got it from my dad. You know, the work ethic is there. It's just, I would like them to be able to strive to do better.
Yeah. I think, what inspired me is kind of synonymous with Sergeant Wilson here. Like, just seeing, well, I would say this. What inspired me is just being exposed to different people. As I got older, you know, like even throughout college, I was exposed to financial literacy just a little bit throughout various programs, but just seeing other people doing this, other people doing that. Like, when it started off with investments in the stock market, and little did I know, like, I was on that path because I started my business as soon as I got to college. But I wasn't thinking, like, I thought I was gonna just make some extra bread, you know what I mean? I could go out to the club, you know, I could pay for some honeys, you know. So like, that's how my mentality was. I wasn't thinking like, I'm about to start my business, get an LLC, and then do this and then do that with it, and it's gonna grow to this capacity. I wasn't thinking on that level at the time. So, but being exposed to like multiple individuals who kind of like opened up my eyes, and then I started to educate myself. I think education is like extremely key. Whether it's you reading books, watching videos, going to these seminars, or actually getting that life lesson of like actually doing it and failing and then trying to do it again. I feel like that has helped me along the way. But I think the main motivation, once I got like the key knowledge of just trying to make money work for myself, like I feel like I'm a beginner trying to get my way to intermediate level into this thing. I feel as if the motivation behind that was seeing my parents as well. Like, my mom still works for Duke, and I freaking hate Duke, but my mom, she hates Duke too. My mom still works for Duke. My pops, he still drives trucks. Like, this man makes one of the most bomb turkey wings, deep fried turkey wings that you will ever taste in your life. I put money on it. Y'all eat it, and y'all would be like, yo, this joint fire. He used to make them at all the cookouts, and people would be like, yo, can you make me a batch? My brother and I trying to get him to start his food truck. Food trucks are big in North Carolina, especially Durham and Greensboro area.
Charlotte, it's
big. And I'm like, bro, you could make so much money if you just start a business. And then once you get multiple food trucks, it could grow into a whole restaurant. Look at Slutty Vegan. Sure. You know what I mean? It started off as a food truck, right? Yeah. So
she got a store now?
She got two stores now. But like, the thing is, like, my pops, he procrastinated, you know. Like you said, you're making good money, you stuck in that mindset, oh, you know, I'm making this money, I've been with this company for some odd years, you know, they paying me well, but they don't care about you. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's that was my second motivation, was I realized this when I was working at Best Buy. I realized it a little bit before, but Best Buy, it really sunk in. I was like, man, these people don't care about me. I work in the, digital imaging department. And then they made me work the rest of the media. So the gaming, the media, like when you sell the DVDs and everything. And I'm like, I'm making y'all thousands and thousands of dollars in an hour because I'm good at selling stuff. And I know what I'm talking about, especially when it comes to cameras. I'm making y'all thousands and thousands of dollars, but I'm getting paid $9.50 an hour. You know what I mean? I was like, hold up. This doesn't add up. You could pay me more. And then that's when I started to realize, like, this is not the move. Like, I'm tired of working for people, and I want to start making my money work for myself. Now, granted, I know I have to do things to get to that point. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really invest and do much if you're not having a steady income coming in at first, you know, when you're starting off. But I would say those are my key factors, you know, and I'm trying to get my mom's to think on that same mindset. Like, she does hair, and I'm like, she's getting to the point. I was talking to her yesterday. She's getting to the point of where she's tired of doing hair. She was like, you know, I want to enjoy my days. I'm like, yeah, you getting to that age where it's almost time for retirement. But I was like, have you even built something for yourself? Like, you still work at Duke. Are you gonna, you do hair on the side, do you have somebody you could train up to do hair for you? Oh yeah, your cousin, so my cousin, she wanna learn how to do hair. Teach her how to do hair, give her your clients. You take a certain percentage. What's the harm in that? I don't wanna do that because, you know, that's my niece. I don't wanna do that. I was like, so you giving her business. At the end of the day, she's still making money. And she should understand that you will be making money as well. That's a whole project. I mean, that's the way the game goes. If you own a salon and you gave her a job at your salon, you ain't going to not take a cut. Yeah, you ain't going to not take a cut out of that. So, like, why not do that? Oh, you know, I think about it. And I just know when older people, when they say they think about it, they ain't going to do it. So, it eats me up because it's like, now, like, we're going to take care of, like, I'm definitely going to take care of my mom. She took care of me. But at the same time, like, I don't want you to sit back and feel as if, oh, regardless, my kids got me. You know, like, that's the wrong mentality. So I want to set myself up, and I guess this is another motivation. I want to set myself up to the point of where when me and my girl, we at that age where we retire, like, our kids can live their lives. Like, it scared me. My mom didn't have life insurance yet. And I'm like, yo, you know what would happen? Like, if you, God forbid, pass away, and then Rico and I, my brother and I, we still young as crap. And now we got to deal with, like, taking care of all these responsibilities. That's a lot. And I've seen friends go through that, and it's heavy. And I hate the fact that they have to go through that. So I would say those are my main motivations and everything like that. But speaking of, like, family being a motivation, all three of you have kids. How do you all plan on teaching your kids? I know we were just talking about your kids learn differently. Each one learns differently. So what are some little nuggets that y'all are giving y'all kids about investments and trying to get out this rat race of life, you know what I mean? Of working a 9-to-5 for your whole life for 20 years and get that retirement. I put that in quotations. So that's my question. Like, how are y'all training and building up your kids?
Anybody? Oh, y'all go first. I mean, I'm gonna go first.
Just starting off, like, they're young, So my oldest is special needs, so I'm trying to figure out where she is and how she's gonna cope. So the one who's gonna take care of everybody so far right now is the middle child. 3-year-old, I don't know what she got yet, you know, she's 3. But when we get back, we're gonna start a donut business, Angel's Donuts. So I'm trying to start her business. We're gonna, once COVID goes away, we're gonna go to football games, basketball games that's going on in the city, and teaching her how to make her own donuts, how to marginalize, how to know what the flour costs, what it costs to make the donuts, and then we're gonna sell them. Got little clever names already. We're gonna sell Baker's Dozens, 13 donuts for us, or for $10. 10-13 is my number. That's the day I was born on. Baker's Dozens, 13. I already got the logo made. Like, we're going to start a child's donut company. You know, like mini donuts. It's actually dope. Still an idea from Bermuda. Went to Bermuda. Went to the dopest beach I've ever been to. Damn, what was the name of it? Forgot the name of it. Pink Sand, amazing. I'm walking out there as a black dude and his daughter, well, and his girlfriend or whatever. She looked young, but, and it was like a little metal machine. It was just floating donuts down. It had an automatic flipper, and took it out. It was hot. Put some caramel on it. Put some sprinkles. I was like, man, what is that? Oh man, it's an automatic donut maker. Oh man, my wife looked like, I was like, you ever seen that? She was like, never. Had a little baggie open. The chips was good. I was like, ding! We need this in America. I'm bringing the donuts to America. Click on Amazon, it's like $1,000. So it's like, for her birthday, I'll invest her. She'll think, oh, daddy, oh yeah, let's make donuts. So at first it'll be fun. Hey, let's, hey, family, come on, we all gonna make donuts Friday night, we're making donuts. But teaching her how to make it, how to scale it, how to do it. And then when she gets good at it, these are really good. Hey, all right, now we're gonna start going places with my homeboy doing Man of Worldwide, World of Fatherhood, selling fatherhood events. Boom. Right next to that is my daughter making donuts and selling donuts to certain events and stuff like that. And then giving back to the community, giving back to the homeless, you know, like, okay, we're going to get some of this money, but now we're going to give back and do stuff like that. So I'm trying to teach them twofold. So if you don't do this, you come down. You know what I'm saying? But hey, you can help them out. But hey, we're not going, you can't fall into that trap.
Next up.
Oh, okay. Nah.
Doesn't matter.
Mine's opposite. Before, like, you know, before we get to the business game, like he set up, actually showing stuff that wasn't taught to me. So, I, like, at a young age, I've already stopped talking about line of credit, how to use credit, whatever. Got an LLC already form, which I'm dropping, but they're getting paid at the LLC at this time because they're paid employees, but how to manage money. So, they got a set amount. And it's just to teach to manage the money. Because like I said, to me, it's like, before you can go into the businesses and the game, right? You got to know how money is a tool and not something to praise and think, oh, it's not about that. Money's not happiness. Money's not going to do what you think it's going to do. It's a tool to be used. But this is how you use your tool. This is how you set money aside to save and invest and put this aside. Because to me, that's like the literacy 101 is not knowing what to do with it. You give a kid $1,000, the first thing you're trying to do is like, I don't know what to do with it. That's the problem with us. Like, we made money at a young age. I can tell you, I made a lot of money at a young age. Now, can I have anything to show for it? Hell no, because nobody told me how to do shit with it. Like, how to take it, how to flip it, how to put it here, and boom. None of that. We just like, hey, money in it. So, and I was like, I'm going to teach them opposite. Like, don't have to wait to your adulthood to say, learn from your mistakes. Learn now while you're young. You have nothing that's going to hurt you. But you go to say, oh, I can't get this Twinkie this week, or I need $10 more. Well, I guess you can't get it. Because I can give it to you, I got to give it. But I'm going to try to teach you, don't spend what you don't have, or spend it before you even get it. You know, so just teaching the basic things are going to help them when they do go into business and everything else. They're already, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Already disciplined in financial literacy to sustain the next level, whatever they want to do, work for themselves, work for anybody else. They actually know, all right, this much money it needs to make. I know what to do. They already have a budget game. So when you do your cost analysis and everything else, then you know what you can use and what you can't use and what's off limits and whole nine. So it starts you off. So you're not starting a business in the hole. You start the business in the green to stay green. So I just been working on that. I'll let you guys know if it really work out in a couple of years. But I'm just saying, I tried something different than was than I was, you know?
Morning.
So.
Mine. my girls are still really young. They're 5 and 3. They're both special needs, so it's more of an aspect right now for me is to teach them how to save in their piggy banks. Like, if they're getting, they get money all the time for birthdays and whatnot, so they'll see what they have, but I put it away so that they can have, you know what I'm saying, yeah, like a savings account or something.
Yeah.
That way, you know, they can learn to save. And I'm also going to do the same thing Sergeant Washington was saying about teaching them what I didn't have growing up, you know, how to manage money,
yeah,
finances, stuff like that. So that way they know how and what to do, because I was never taught any of that. Now, it's funny because growing up, my grandmother knew what the hell to do, but I don't know if she taught my dad in the family. So I don't know if she passed it down to anybody. And I was like, man, that was such a waste.
Yeah.
You know, because she's 89 years old. She doing all right. But I see my dad and my aunt struggling, going through life. And I was like, what's up?
Yeah. Speaking of like spouses and whatnot, who in the relationship sparked the? I think from a previous conversation, I think you sparked probably the thought in your wife's head. I'm not sure if your wife sparked it in your head, or you sparked it in your wife's head, or y'all both at the same level, or you sparked it in your husband's head, or he did. But like, who in your relationship sparked that? And if you were the person that sparked it in that person's head, how did you see them grow over time? And like, was that like fulfilling and like, oh man, I really love this woman. I love this man. You know what I mean? Like, was it like an extra like oomph, like to solidify? Like, yeah.
You
my partner right now. You know how Mary, we was talking about marriage is a partnership. You my partner now. You know what I mean? So can y'all talk about that, being married individuals?
Talk about like sparking financial literacy?
Or yeah. Like, who started the initial? Like, was it you? Was it your wife? And then for you, you know, was it you or was it your husband? And from there, how have you seen those individuals grow? How did you grow? And so forth.
Well, I started, for me, it was me. You know what I'm saying? I was real, you know, once I apply, you know, people plant seeds and they grow when they're supposed to grow. So when I finally got all my seeds growing, that's when I started, you know, got married, had kids, whatever. But I already knew, like, okay, she came from both parent home. I came from a single family home, right? So, you know, that's two different histories and path, whatever. But with the dynamics we came together with was like, okay, we're yin and yang. So every opposite was strong suit, vice versa for me and her. So I came with the financial literacy part about it. And then she came with the family structure. You know what I'm saying? Because like, she knows the family structure. Why? You've been living that all your life. I know one portion of family structure, right? So with the yin and yang, we work together. They hold strong, like nucleus, you know what I'm saying? So, but I had to find the literacy, because if you're hustling, you by yourself, I never was a man to ask anybody for anything. I just knew how to get it, put the money aside, boom, and start playing tools. And then when you got older, I was like, okay. So then for her, it's different because you have two parents at home, whatever. You know, you don't have to do too much burden. You don't have to do solo stuff. So therefore, it worked together for both of us. But then it was like, okay, now she knew how to keep the family structured. Why we go ahead and I'm able to say, hey, push this here, and teach. So finding literacy came from our part, but her structure helped the finding literacy go. Because you can have finding literacy, but if it's not, with no structure behind it, like it ain't no family or nothing, just say, hey, you put behind your family, your kids, whatever, then it's like a tool not fully used to its max capacity, right? So with that, that helped out. But yeah, I would say, but the final listening part, just to get back on that, yeah, I started that.
I started investing wise. So my wife is like very thrifty. She don't like to spend money for nothing. So she's a save for a rainy day type of person. I'm not. I'd rather put my eggs in all these different baskets and wait for one of them to pop. She just want to hold on to hers. Something bad's about to happen, but that's the way her mom is. Her mom just was a holder. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, hey, I'm trying to get her out of that mindset of, hey, stop holding. Let your kids go. Let your kids bring some other kids. Bring some friends. Let them go to school, and they're going to bring back friends. Don't just hold them in the house. You got to let your kids outside. I said, don't look at it as money, and you're going to lose it. Just invest it. Do something with it. So we're still working on that. But I think in my mindset, just watching my parents, like, I'm trying to get her everything that I invest in, I want her to invest in something. Like, we don't share bank accounts, right? Your bank account is your bank account, my bank account is my bank account, and we have a house fund. So when we usually, when we do our taxes, tax come back, goes into the house fund. Of course, if you need it, yeah, I got it. But my money, I invest, I do different things. Her money, I'm like, hey, you check this out. What different than I tell you? Hey, yep. HCMC, hey, take a look at it. Hey, babe, HCMC, take a look at it. Hey, go ahead and invest in it. How many shares you bought? Right now, since I'm telling you, I'm going to buy 100,000, like 250 for like 100,000 shares or whatever. Right now, I'm at 1 million shares. I'm like, hey, what you at? Oh, I'm at 70,000. Man, that's $150. Like, what you doing? Oh, well, I had to do this and had to go grocery shopping. Said the money. Hey, go ahead and invest. That's for the groceries. Get your grocery money back. What else you do? Daycare. Okay, here's $1,000. It's going to take care of the money for all my bills here. Go ahead and do what you need to do. So I'm trying to get her to invest and learn how to use Charles Schwab's. Yesterday she showed me her account with her little phone and showed me her account. I'm like, okay, move this. Why'd you sell that? So we just having a whole conversation is totally different than what it was 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So my logic is, and it's just my logic, it's a business. Marriage is a business. I want her to be successful. I want to be successful. Together we're amazing. If we so happen to split, you still good. I know the kids are good with you. I know what your account is hitting on. You know what mine is hitting. We split. I don't really got to pay a whole lot of half or nothing because you good. I set you up. You make it 80. You're great. So they're not looking at me. Oh, sir, you've been taking care of her for the past 10 years. We need half of your account for spousal support, child support. No. She good over here, bro. She's good. But if we make it towards the end, we raise the kids, we're good. How much stronger are we together? I'm super good. And I know you're going to be super good. Where we going, baby? Oh, we're going to run a teeny. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? And my parents, and I'm learning, like, my dad, when my mom left, she just, I haven't talked to him. Because I guess when you get older and you retire, like, you get a certain pension for how many years you work. And you get a certain pension for how many years you work. But your spouse is able to get, like, if you did 40 years, you did 20, right? Yeah. You're able to get his 40-year pension by being married.
Right.
Not taking nothing from you for 40.
No.
So I talked to my dad. It was separate. They still separate. They ain't before. They separated.
Yeah.
They were separated for 20 years now. But I convinced him, hey, dad, you know, mom's on the thing, blah, blah, blah. And he needs to come down to the Social Security office and just sign this affidavit. I lie to him to get the money that you get.
Yeah.
You worked 40 years, she did 20, because you asked her to retire early and blah, 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 get a lump sum, whatever. She did that, you bought the house, lost the house. And you go ahead and sign this affidavit. What? Oh, they take it when I Social Security and give it to her. I ain't giving a shit.
No.
Right? Not taking nothing from you. She's just going to be awarded. You're allowed.
Yeah.
And he came and did it. He ain't had to do that, but I appreciate you for doing it. And now mom is sitting a lot straighter.
Yeah.
Ain't beefing no more, they ain't arguing. But you still got to make sure, no matter what happens, always got to make sure your spouse is good, because you share life, and that's kids.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's graduations, birthdays, whatever the case may be, you're going to be around motherfucker for the rest of your goddamn life. So you might as well hope she did, because if she ain't good, you ain't going to be good.
True. Tay-Tay.
My husband and I both sparked it. He was more financially stable than I was at the time. I went through a really bad divorce, and my ex took everything, you know, so just being in that mindset, I was like, I can't, fuck it.
Go ahead, nah, leave.
So being in that mindset, I was like, I don't want to fall back into this kind of situation again. I want to make sure that I'm straight, regardless, because back then, I had an account with my ex. That was the worst thing I could have ever done, because he took everything and left me high and dry with nothing. stole a tax return. I mean, it was bad. So coming into my new marriage, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't trust anybody with my finances anymore because of the fact I was burned. I'll have an account, you have your account, we'll have household, and that's where the bills are paid. You know, and him coming up poor, he was like, I don't want to live like that. I don't want my family or my kids to live like that. I'm doing what I need to do and to invest to better my financial situation. So that's how we sparked each other, and we're doing okay. He's just now getting into the aspect of stocks and everything. So he's learning. So once he learns and gets himself situated, then I'm going to go ahead and get myself into it and so on and so forth. That way we can do it together. But we're saving, you know, we got savings and stuff, which is nice. So it's just that aspect of wanting to invest in it. So it's scary for me because of the fact that I lost so much in the beginning. I'm like, I don't know. I'm really particular about, hey, we've made some financial, you know, decisions before we got married. He made some financial decisions before we got married that has cost us. And I was like, putting that kind of investment in something and it not paying out, I was like, I don't really feel comfortable doing it, you know, because I'm like, we're still paying off of the mistakes. So
yeah,
it's just, you're gonna live and learn, and that's what it is now. So I'm just like, as long as we don't fall into that issue again, do what we need to do.
Well, on that living and learning portion, what I've learned is that it's so crazy. I'm very frugal. Sorry, what's it? I've been talking about it all the time. How frugal you too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very frugal. So what I had to learn, and shout out to my moms, because she kind of helped me get out of that mindset. Like, it's okay to spend sometimes. Cause I used to be that saver. That, like, save. But saving ain't always good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now how I look at, like, the stock market, I try to look at the stock market like it's my bank account. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really want too much money in my account, you know? However, what I've learned is that life in general is a gamble. So, like, you can't be afraid to take any losses and let those losses be like the sole, I guess the sum of everything that you think about just investments and opening up businesses. I look at failure now as success, because when you fail, only then will you succeed, because you learned in a lesson, you know? That's why with the military, you know, they always trying to push you to be perfect, but it's like, no one's perfect. Sometimes we gotta fail to succeed and actually learn. And then we could, you know, do better. Now, if we're not doing better after that, then obviously it should be some corrective action and stuff like that. But where I was going with this, to get back on to the question, is like with my girl, I feel like since day one, like I was telling her about this, telling her about that, you know, and I am very, very not amazed, but I'm very, it makes me happy that like she's actually trusting in me and listening to me, and it's like, I want to do better. Like, it's to the point of where she reading books. She just went to a Dago. She did, like, I guess an online seminar. I was like, sheesh, like, you over here going ham right now, you know what I mean? Like, she read a Dave Ramsey book. I forget which one, but she sent it to me in a care package. Sent me Rich Dad Poor Dad, because I asked for it. So I've been following Robert Kiyosaki on video, but I haven't read his book yet. And then, like, she read all of, like, those two books already. She on another book, and the self-improvement is there, and it's amazing, and it's making me happy, because it's like, I don't think initially it was a big thing in her head. She was the type of person that has to have a cushion. She still is, in a way. Like, gotta have a cushion, gotta have a plan B. Everything is pretty much this and that, you know? And I'm the type of person I'm the type of way, that, like, my way is, I can't sometimes focusing on that plan B and plan C would distract me from plan A. You get what I mean? I think it's good to have a cushion, which is like if you want to say your cushion is savings, well, yeah, you should have probably 6 to 12 months of expenses in your savings account, right? However, the rest of it should be focused on plan A, which is investing and getting that, you know, building, pretty much building your wealth and building like a happier and better future for yourself. Because like we all said, we all didn't grow up with this knowledge. You know, our parents didn't know, so it's not their fault, but they didn't teach us. They just taught us, okay, you got to write out, you need a budget. Every time you get paid, you need a budget. And I saw my girl doing it. I mean, budgeting is cool. Budgeting is fine. But like, what is budgeting if you're not doing anything with your money but saving it? You know, and a lot of people don't understand saving your money, putting it in the bank, you get 0.0 whatever interest added on to your money.
They got your money in the Forex market. Exactly. Currency, they're making more money off your money than you.
Exactly. That's why if you ever had, like, say you got $100,000 in the bank, and you like, I want to take the $100,000 out. Well, it's going to be about 5 to 7 business days because they ain't got your money.
They trade shit in Forex. They trade against JPY and the Great Britain pound, and they got it all out in the morning.
Yep. They invest in your money. Yep. And that's why I try to tell people, if the banks is investing your money, how come you ain't investing your money and doing it as well? So I think it's cool. I'm looking forward to being like that power couple, you know, having that aspect. You know, that's why I want her to get on the same mindset as me. Like, I'm still growing and understanding a lot more, but at the same time, whoever I'm with need to be on the same page. Because if we ain't on the same page, you're getting left behind. And it might sound harsh, but that's simple and plain, because we gotta be on the same mindset. We can't be stuck. I'd be damned if I'm gonna be stuck in the same situation that I grew up in. Like, we didn't grow up terrible, but at the same time, it wasn't the best. So like, I'm not about to be in the same situation. I want better for my kids. Now, am I gonna spoil them every now and then? But like, teach them. But I'm still gonna teach them how to work for everything that they, you know, everything that they want. You know, I'm not gonna give them everything up under the world and like that type of mindset. Because I don't even have that now. And I know for a fact that I ain't going to have that when I have kids. I'm going to be like, oh, hell no, you ain't going to get this. You better think of some little business or something to make you earn some money or something like that. You know, I'll try to find out different lessons. Because that's probably how I would want to teach my children. Not necessarily lecture and standardized testing like how they teach in public schools and everything like that. But I actually want to try to teach them life lessons by having them go through things. And I know sometimes my girl probably gonna be like, why you doing that to her? You know, but I'm like, hold on, it's a lesson to this. Yeah. You know, I wanna be like a Boondocks. It's a moral to the story at the end of the day. You know, it might be funny, all games, it might seem like a little bit harsh, but at the end of the day, there's a moral to the story and it's a lesson to be learned. So that's all I got. I'm hungry. Ready to eat some breakfast.
No, that's it. All right. Thank y'all for joining us. Morning coffee with some great inspiration from different narratives or different points of views from different walks of life. To help you find financial literacy and understand. What was the main topic again? It was
the main question. Topic was
how to make
money work
for you. So I hope these suggestions help you out. Let us know, comment, share, and stay tuned for the next episode.